Good morning. Good morning.
Good, good, good. Let's do it one more time just for the fun of it. Good morning. That was awesome. My name is Cale. I'm the teaching pastor here at Life Point Church and want to say welcome to you. I'm pumped to see everybody. This week has been a really, really cool week for me personally, and so I'm excited to be here with you. If you're a first-time guest here, this is your first time ever to Life Point, I want to say a special welcome to you. We're really excited that you chose to be here on a Sunday morning with us. If you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, since really the beginning, 5 weeks ago, we've been going through this series called Latest and Greatest, where we're going through the book of Colossians together. This morning, we're headed to chapter 2 of Colossians. We're going to be in verses 6 and 7. So if you've got a copy of the scriptures, either a physical Bible or the Life Point app, if you don't have it, you can go to your smartphone and download that. It's Life Point Ohio. You can search that at the App Store and download that. That has the message notes along with it. If you've got a listening guide, obviously you can be following along in there, and we'll have it on the screens here for you as well. The big idea of this series has been this phrase, just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. And if you're taking notes along with us, that's the first point there in your listening guide. Just because it's new doesn't mean that it's true. The Colossian church was this really
Gospel 1.0, be a discerning Christian. Just as we need to be discerning consumers in our world when new ideas and new products are coming out all the time, we don't just buy things wholesale just because it's new. Paul's saying the exact same applies when it comes to the gospel and to your faith. I want to see you guys, Paul says, grow up into spiritual maturity, able to entertain a new idea and say, okay, is this true or is it just new? And so we're going to see kind of echoes of that this morning and echoes of much of what we've said over the past few weeks in this passage this morning, but we're also going to land a little different place and spend our time in one particular kind of phrase in there. But if you've got a Bible, again, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, let me pray and just ask the Lord to guide us. We're going to read a lot of Bible this morning, like a whole lot of Bible. I know it's church, right, but there's a lot of Bible even for church. So we're going to read that this morning. Let me pray for us before we do, though. Lord, thank you for who you are, and God, I am so thankful for the people sitting in this room. Thankful for all the volunteers, Father, who make this thing run. God, thankful for the people who have given of their time and their efforts, Father, just to be a part of your kingdom. Father, we thank you for your activity here in Delaware. And Lord, we are privileged just to be a part of it. We ask for your presence this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us as we read much of Scripture, Lord, and help it equip us, Father, to be more mature believers. God, to be more grateful, to be more thankful, and to be more joyful in your presence. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Paul speaking to the Colossians, and he says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." And that's a key phrase. He says, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." I want to read that again. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That first statement there, in some ways, summarizes much of what Paul has been saying up until this point, where he says, just as you received Christ, so continue to live your lives in him, rooted in him, built up in him. He's the foundation of your faith. Don't drift from him. Stay the course, as it were. He says these new ideas are coming in. They're trying to pull you away from the gospel, but I'm telling you, just as you received Christ, stay there. Stay rooted in Christ. Stay built up in Christ. Mature in Christ. Everything that you need for Christ, we talked about that last week, for maturity is in Christ. I want you to stay there, rooted in the gospel. And he says, and then do that, overflowing with Thanksgiving. But the question is, we're going to talk a lot about Thanksgiving this morning. The question, though, before we get there is, okay, how did the Colossians receive Christ? What does Paul mean when he says, just as you received Christ, so continue to live in him? It's kind of a curious phrase. And so what I want to do, I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 2. I said before, the Colossians have never met Paul. They didn't receive the gospel directly from Paul. Rather, Paul taught the Ephesians at Ephesus. This guy named Epaphras then took it to the Colossians and brought the message of Christ there. And so he says, just as you received it, I want you to continue. So I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul is teaching the Ephesians. This would have been the heart of the message that the Colossians received from Epaphras, who received it then from Paul. And I think it's some of the most powerful verses that tell us how we as believers, if you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is how you receive Jesus Christ as Lord. So chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1, we're going to read 10 verses here. Again, I know, tons of Bible. Verse 1, as for you, and he's talking to all of us, right? He's talking to the Ephesians, but he's saying, this is everybody, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He says, everybody's in the same boat here, right? We're not discriminating. Everybody is super sinful. So he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and are the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He says, all of us lived among them at one time. All of us were sinful, following, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. What Paul means there is, he says, look, this flesh in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when it talks about flesh, he means the sinful nature that we have. God says, this is what I want for your life. This is the way we tend to go, just by nature. We don't really want what God wants for us. We want what we want for us. And those two things usually aren't the same thing. And Paul says, every single one of us, that's where we live apart from Christ. So he ends up going, says this continues in the bad news, right? Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So God is a just God. He loves you incredibly, but he also is a just God and hates sin. He says, so by nature, the only thing that we deserve, we didn't deserve God to love us. We just deserved God's wrath against our rebellion. That's a hard thing to hear. And if you're like me, I'm thinking, man, that sounds kind of mean. But when you think about it, you know, okay, God wants a relationship with me. God's not the one who turned his back on me. I'm the one who turned my back on the Lord. And so Paul says, by nature, we were deserving of wrath. Thankfully, he changes his tone here. He says, okay, that's the bad news, right? So what's the good news? Verse 4, he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how there's incomparable wisdom and knowledge in Scripture. When you get to know Christ, everything you need for spiritual maturity is in Christ. Paul says the same thing here, the incomparable riches that are in Christ. He says, expressed, and this is so cool, he says, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Last week I said, or 2 weeks ago, I said, if you want to know what God thinks of you, just look to Christ. If you struggle with, does God love me? All you have to do is look to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to know, yes, God the Father does love me. He sent his own Son on my behalf and on your behalf. Paul says he expressed his kindness to you in Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, and this is so pivotal, he says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. This is how, right, that passage right there, especially the part where he says, it's by grace, through faith, that you received Christ, and it's not your own works. This is why we don't boast to one another. This is why you can't look at yourself and go, man, I am an awesome person, aren't I? No, you're not. I'm not an awesome person. Anything awesome that you see in me and anything awesome that you see in you is God's handiwork. That's God shaping you and fashioning you into the kind of man, into the kind of woman he wants you to be. He says it's by grace that we receive this salvation through faith. This is what Paul means then. He says, okay, just as you receive Christ, that way, right, a totally free, undeserved kind of gift, so continue in him. And here's why I think that's so important. There's something inside of you, and there's something inside of me that wants to, if I can say it this way, graduate from the gospel, right? We get salvation, and we say, God, I just received this by grace through faith. Thank you for becoming my Lord and Savior. And then it's what? All right, I'll take it from here. God, I'll take it from here. Pastor Adam Purcell, one of my mentors, probably one of my best friends, he's over in Mount Vernon, our teaching pastor there. He wrote the blog for this week. If you're following the LifePoint Ohio blog, we're writing kind of articles each week kind of concurrently with this series. And he was writing about this passage today, and I think he said it so well. He said, so many of us tend to believe, and this is just a lie. He says, we believe that we somehow got in by believing, but that we stay in by obeying. That somehow God, it was a gift that we received, that we got into salvation, into Christianity, but how we stay in is up to us, that we've got to somehow earn God's love from here on out. And he says, that's a lie. God cares that we obey him. Yes, we should be doing good works. God prepared, it says beforehand, good works for us to do. But you got in by believing. You got in by grace through faith, and you stay in by grace through faith. God continues to mature you, and that is a gift from God and his work. And yes, we should pursue him, and yes, we should obey, but you don't stay in simply because you did a really good job. I was reading Tim Keller the other week, and he said, I just tweeted something out. I thought it was such a cool verse. He said, look, you're a child of God. Just because you had a bad week doesn't mean he kicks you out of the family. And I think that encapsulates so well what Paul is saying here. Guys, just as you received Christ, don't let other people add new things to the gospel to say, man, it's great that you've got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you know you also need to do this, right? If God's going to love you, you know you've got to be doing this, right? If God's going to love you, you know it's Jesus plus this, right? Paul says, no, just as you received Jesus Christ, so continue to live your lives in him, rooted in that truth, built up in that truth, recognizing the foundation of my faith is Jesus Christ and the gift that I received from him. I didn't do anything to earn this. It's undeserved. God loves me simply because God wants to, not because I somehow earned my way to him. Now, Paul says, by grace, through faith, right, it's a gift from God, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And then comes this phrase, which really caught my attention this week. It says, overflowing with thankfulness. Paul seems to draw this direct link from us recognizing that my faith, my gift of salvation, right, is completely undeserved, that God loves me and I didn't earn it. I didn't work my way to God, but God worked his way to me. He says he draws a direct link between that and gratitude, thankfulness. One commentator put it this way. He says the litmus test, right, a good litmus test for Christian health is, okay, how healthy are you? How grateful are you? If I could put it this way, what is it that marks your life? Is it bitterness? Is it complaining? Is it always something wrong? Always something less than? Always, well, this doesn't happen to anyone else. Why is it always me? Is it entitlement? Just have what I have because I have what I have, right? I worked for it. I earned it, right? I deserve this. Or is it gratitude? Is it this kind of overflowing and abounding thankfulness that I walk around just kind of recognizing always that I know what God has done for me, and I recognize I didn't earn it, I don't deserve it, but God just loves me because he can and because he wants to, and for some reason I give him delight. How incredible is that? And so the way I put it in your listening guide, and this is a challenge for you and a challenge for me as I was thinking about it this week, and yet at the same time, I hope we come away from here not feeling just guilty, but also excited, and that is this, that the life of a Jesus follower, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, the life of a Jesus follower should be marked by an almost excessive amount of gratitude. Have you ever seen those people in your life where you look at them and they're just so like joyful and happy that it's kind of annoying and inspiring all at the same time, where you look at it and you think, you kind of annoy me, but I'm also really inspired by, like, I want that. Whatever that is, I want that. Like, a bunch of bad things just happened to you, and yet you're still so joyful. Why is that? And I think it's because they've recognized this, right? That, man, I've been loved by Christ. That's the kind of life, that's the kind of joy that each one of us is called to and has a right to in Christ. That's the kind of life I want for you. That's the kind of life I want for myself. Where there's this deep, abiding joy and thankfulness in our lives that nobody can take away. Verse 8, if we'll go there really quickly, Paul goes on to kind of say something like this, right, where he says, look, overflowing with thankfulness, stick to the course. And then he says, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Don't drift from the course. Stay in Christ. That's where you find gratitude and thankfulness. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. He says, it doesn't put your focus on Christ. Anything that tries to take your focus away from Christ and says, hey, you know how you get to spiritual maturity? It's this. Follow these rules. Follow these regulations. Anything that takes your attention and focus away from Jesus Christ as the author and the perfecter of your faith, stop listening to it. He says, stay right there. For in Christ, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, that Jesus Christ is fully God. And he says, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You're not like a half-complete Christian. He says, in Christ you've been brought to fullness. Everything that you need for thankfulness, for gratitude, for spiritual maturity is in Christ Jesus. Every single one of us, equal access to the God of heaven through Christ. He says, in him, he says, he's the head over every power and authority, and in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And so what Paul's talking about there, he says, look, just how in the Jewish community, circumcision of a young male really brought them officially into the covenant relationship with God. God's relationship with Israel was set up with this covenant, right? And the sign of that was circumcision, right? Physical circumcision. I'm not going to talk about that long. We're just going to move right past it, right? Spiritual circumcision, Paul says, look, just like that, right? You're brought into the covenant community of God, right? Into the covenant community of God through this spiritual circumcision that Christ does, and he relates that to baptism. A lot of people have questions about baptism. This is why we baptize people at LifePoint. In obedience to Scripture, it says when you're baptized and you go under the water, it's symbolic. It's this sign of something going on inwardly, this outward sign of an inward reality that when you go under, the old you passes away. That old sinful nature in you is put off. Just as Jesus Christ died, it says your old person died, and when you're raised up out of the water, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead into new life, you flip a new leaf, you come out a new person with new life. It's indicative of an outward sign of that spiritual reality. That's the kind of circumcision, he says, that Christ did in us. And again, I think part of the point, it's a free gift. It's not something, God brings you into the family, and yes, you say yes to the Lord, but you don't earn your way in. You don't earn your way. It's not your performance, which is a good thing, because if your performance makes you get in, then your performance can kick you out. And that's not the case. He says it's totally by God's grace. And then he draws this connection, right, between that. Okay, so you've been brought into the family by God, adopted into the family by God's grace through faith. Overflow then with thankfulness. And I was thinking about that. Okay, what does it look like for my life to overflow with gratitude, that nobody can steer me away from that, that I stay rooted in Christ and built up in Christ? What does that look like for you? And I thought, okay, what I don't mean by that, what it doesn't look like is just a personality trait or a personality, kind of a characteristic about who you are, right? Some of you are super positive, right? And some of you are maybe a little less positive, maybe even kind of pessimistic or real, you know, I'm a realist, right? That's, I think, how sometimes pessimists say it, right? I'm just a realist, right? Some of us, like, the glass is half empty, right, all the time. Some of us, the glass is half full. Some of us, the glass is fully empty, and I hate the glass. And then some of us, right, the glass is fully empty, and the glasses are fully full, and the glass is so awesome. If you've ever met, again, Adam Purcell, so my mentor, the dude just exudes positivity. Like, I'm convinced he came out of the womb just, yes, right, like, life. And every morning he wakes up, and the alarm rings, and he's like, a new day, yes. And he just kind of sings with positivity all the time. It's contagious. You get around him, and you're like, I'm happy, and I don't know why, right? Like, I'm just excited. That's how some of you are, right? You're so emotional and expressive. When you're down, you can tell, right? It's just, the world is awful, right? But when you're up, it's like, yes, I love everything. And then some of you are super stoic, right? And when you're super happy, it looks something like this. And when you're super sad, it looks something like this. And you can't tell a difference either way. You're just not that expressive. That's just part of who you are. That's part of your personality trait. Now, I'm not saying you need to be less or more positive or more or less negative, right? There may be a happy medium, I don't know. But what I'm saying is it's not just your expressiveness or how emotional you are about things. Some of you are
always going to be more stoic. And some of you are always going to be a little more expressive with your emotions. What I'm talking about is this deep, abiding joy, this deep gratitude and thankfulness, where no matter what happens, that kind of joy and gratitude just can't be shaken. You live as if every day is a gift because you recognize it is. Every day I've been given the gift of salvation. Every day that I'm on this planet, I have another opportunity to walk with my Heavenly Father. And that is a completely undeserved gift. I am loved by the God of the universe, and I did nothing to deserve that. It's incredible. So as I started to think about that this week and say, okay, I want to just, how do we be more thankful? I thought, I want scripture to kind of inform this. I want to know, what does the Bible say about me just being thankful? What do I have to be thankful for? So I went to the back of my Bible. I would encourage you to do this week. I went to the back of my Bible. I found the concordance, right, where it lists out all the words, and I just looked for words like thankfulness, thanksgiving, thanks, and I looked up pretty much every passage in the Bible or that it listed out. I don't know if it was 15, 20, 25 passages where I just read through, okay, what is everything the Bible tells me to be thankful for? Why am I supposed to be overflowing with thankfulness? It was awesome, right? I mean, I'm going to read these to you, and it's a long, again, lots of Bible today, right? I want to just read some of these to you because as I read these, I just got more and more and more excited. Philippians 1, verse 3. We're not going to have these up on the screens. I just want you to hear these and think about the words as I read them to you. Just hear what Scripture tells us over and over and over and over about what we're to be thankful for. Philippians 1, 3 says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Scripture says we're to be thankful for one another and the fact that we have relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. We're thankful for the peace of Christ. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Psalm 7:17, the Psalms say this so well. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. Psalm 95 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Psalm 100 says, give thanks to the Lord and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. 1 Corinthians 15 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Corinthians 2 says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. I love that Paul says, don't be taken captive by any other human philosophy. Instead, be taken captive by Christ. We get to follow Christ as captives, captured by him, captivated by him, and we get to walk him in a triumphal procession, Paul says, that we just get to walk with Christ and spread the aroma of him everywhere, that people look at us and there's this kind of curiosity of, why are you so grateful? Why are you so joyful? And we say, because Christ is awesome, and I love him, and he loves me. 2 Corinthians 9 says, because of this surpassing grace God has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And finally, Revelation 4:9, I love this. He says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. When you pour across the pages of Scripture, what you find is it says, be thankful for one another. Be thankful for God's righteousness. Be thankful for who he is. Be thankful for his deeds. Be thankful for his faithfulness. Be thankful that God sits on the throne forever and ever, and nothing can ever shake the kingdom that we inherit. But most of all, it simply says, be thankful for who God is and for how much he loves you and me. Be thankful. Psalm says it over and over. God, thank you for who you are. Your love endures forever. Human beings, man, we are fickle. right? And sometimes I know, I mean, we love our children, we love other people, but there are times where I love this person less and times where I love this person more. Do you know God never changes like that? That no matter what happens in your life, when your world is spinning, you can look up to God and remember, man, God loves me the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's compassion towards me and affection towards me never, ever changes. That is something that we can be always, every day, every minute of every day, thankful for. And what it does is it creates gratitude. As I read these passages this week, and I just kind of poured over and thought, oh my God,
it's just connecting. I got so excited.
I was sitting in a coffee shop and up and walk around
Delaware just to kind of expend. Told them about Jesus. We started
talking back and forth. We talked
5 minutes. And I was just so
excited, thinking about this is what God does in us. I'm loved by the God of the universe. What else really matters? How incredible is it that I am loved by the God of the universe? And you, if you've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus, you are loved by the God of the universe. And if you're here and you don't have a relationship, God loves you and wants to bring you into this relationship and adopt you into his family. The gospel is for everybody. Paul says, just as you receive the gospel, so walk in it. And what happens, this is the antidote to our ingratitude. If you complain, I mean, if you look at your life and say, I recognize it. I am bitter. I complain, right? Gratitude doesn't just come out of me, right? People don't look at me and say, why are you so grateful? And you say, what do I do about it? How do I fix this? I say, look long and hard into the face of Jesus Christ and recognize how much he loves you. The way I put it in your listening guides, and I want to read Ephesians 3, 17, 19 to you, because this Paul, I took it right out of here. Paul says, just a chapter later, right? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, to understand, to realize how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The way I put it in your listening guides, meditate on the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love for you. Spend time each week, each morning, each day, each evening, just thinking and celebrating, God, how much you love me. Father, think about your life. Think about all the mistakes you made. Think about all the things that you've done that you go, man, I'm not proud of that. And yet God says, I take that sin. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I remove your sin from you. I don't see it anymore. I don't think about it anymore. I look at you, and I see Jesus Christ, my son. I see you covered by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you have repented, turned from your sin, and turned towards Jesus, that's the kind of relationship you have with your heavenly Father. You are a son or a daughter of the God of the universe. And you spend time thinking about that, just meditating on how much God loves you, and gratitude just kind of spills out of you. It just overflows, right? You can't help but be thankful. It's incredible what God does to you. And I think here's my hope, right? As we think about this week, I was thinking about, okay, a way to maybe illustrate how this works in our lives. And I thought about a scale, right? And apart from Christ, I'm going to pull out an actual scale here. I gotta give some kudos to, look at this, right? So Chris Kachuriak made this for me in like 36 hours, which is awesome, right? If you know me, I'm not a handy guy, right? So if I'd have built this, you'd have gotten like a rock and a board, right? And it just would have gone back and forth. He built this thing. I was like, hey, does this work? And I'm like, yeah, that works. Heck yeah, man, that's awesome. So a little shout out there. I think when we view gratitude, we tend to view it like this, apart from Christ. And it's like gratitude or how thankful we are, how joyful we are is always kind of hanging in the balance. And what happens is we look at the circumstances of our lives, right? And again, this is apart from Christ, and maybe you'll resonate with this. It's like we go through the circumstances of our lives to determine whether we're grateful or not. And if I were to ask you, are you grateful? Kind of depends on what happened that day, what's going on in that season of life, right? So you got a new house maybe, right? And you go, man, that just makes me feel super grateful, right? The scale starts to tip. And we go, I feel pretty grateful about that. However, that new house came with a massive amount of debt. I'm not super grateful for that, right? And that goes here and it starts to tip the scale back just a little bit, right? But then you know what? I got a raise at work. And I'm super pumped about that, right? I'm not saying me particularly, but you, right? One, you get a raise at work, and you're like, man, I'm just super thankful for that. And again, I feel really grateful for that. I'm just so thankful. However, I wrecked my car, right? And I don't like deer, and they're stupid, right? And so I get less thankful, right? If you ask me in that moment, I'm upset about the cost of that, right? And insurance and the hassle that it is. But you know what? I've got great kids, right? And I'm really thankful for my kids. And you know, he won the spelling bee or she won the spelling bee. And I'm just really thankful for that. But you know what? I just experienced a loss in my family. And that was really painful. And I'm kind of angry at God, right? And it kind of tips the scales back. And what happens if we're not careful is that apart from Christ, we view gratitude this way. And whether you're thankful or not, it's just constantly back and forth. And one season of your life, everything is awesome. And one season of your life, everything is really terrible. And day by day, even for some of us, right? I'm pretty grateful, but you know, I don't know, things just happen. I'm going through some hard times right now. I'm not that grateful. And it just goes back and forth constantly. What I think happens when we meditate and realize how high and how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ for us, it's like the weightiness of that falls on us. The weight of glory falls on us, and we realize, man, it outweighs everything else, and it's something like this, where you start to meditate on the breadth and the height and the length and the depth of God's love for you. And suddenly you become so grateful. And what happens then? It's like your circumstance proof. Bad things happen in your life, and more bad things happen, and more trials happen, and trial after trial after trial stacks up, and you go through these difficult things, and look what happens to your gratitude. Nothing. You go through those things in life, and you realize, man, none of this stuff, as bad as it is, man, it causes grief, and there are times to mourn for that, but as bad as these things are, nothing outweighs the love of Christ in my life. I recognize when you start to meditate on the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of Christ's love, you realize, man, this is so weighty and substantial in my life. It so outweighs everything else that nothing and nobody can steal my joy. This is why you look at people in life and circumstantially you're like, man, if that happened to me, I don't know where I'd be at, right? If that happened to me, I don't know what my attitude would be. And yet they're just so grateful. It's because they've spent a long time and they've recognized and experienced how much God loves them and the weightiness of that love. It's why you see people who have nothing and yet they live as if they've got everything, because they realize they do have everything in Christ. In Christ, you've been brought to fullness. This is the kind of life that all of us are called to live. And I want this for myself. I want this for you, and the way I think it happens is that we spend time poring over Scripture, spend time in our life group, spend time in prayer, just encouraging one another. Think about, remember, meditate, spend time just pondering how much God loves you and how undeserved His gift of grace. If you're a believer, this is the kind of life that you're called to. And if you're not, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, this is the kind of life that you're invited to through Jesus Christ. It is an undeserved gift. Every single person you know in your life who is a believer, they didn't do anything to earn that. They simply turned from their sin and turned towards Jesus. That same thing is open to you. And I want to help you take that step this morning. Let me pray for you.